Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for November 24th, 2015. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Theo Rhine about how antidepressants can affect gene transcription. Epigenetic mechanisms link changes in the environment to changes in gene expression without changing DNA sequences. For example, DNA methylation can affect whether or how much a gene is expressed. Epigenetic changes have been implicated in both stress-related psychiatric disorders and in the effects of psychoactive drugs like antidepressants. In a new study published in the current issue of Science Signaling, a group led by Theo Rhine reports that the antidepressant paroxetine affects epigenetic regulation of the gene encoding BDNF, which is important for learning and memory. Paroxetine does so by influencing which of two closely related molecular chaperones binds to a kinase called CDK5. CDK5 regulates the activity of DNA methyltransferase 1, which is an enzyme that deposits epigenetic marks on many genes, including BDNF. They also found that whether or not patients responded to paroxetine treatment for depression correlated with whether or not paroxetine was able to induce BDNF expression in blood cells sampled from those patients. Their findings suggest that it might be possible to predict whether or not a patient is likely to respond to paroxetine by administering a blood test. Rhine spoke to me from the Max Planck Institute of Psychiatry in Munich. Dr. Rhine, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you.
Your study focuses on FKBP51, FKBP52, CDK5, and DNA methyltransferase 1. How do all of these proteins cooperate to control gene expression?
DNA methyltransferase 1, we abbreviate it as a DNMT1, is the main enzyme executing methylation of DNA and thereby typically silencing affected genes. CDK5 is a kinase that phosphorylates and thereby increases the DNMT1 activity. FKBP51 and FKBP52, in turn, competitively associate with this kinase, CDK5, and differentially affect CDK5's ability to act on DNMT1. So that FKBP51 decreases and FKBP52 increases DNMT1 activity. We do not know how exactly they do so, but we have evidence that there are differences in protein complex assembly, for example, the recruitment of the CDK5 cofactor P35.
And so in your study, you looked at how the antidepressant paroxetine affects the system. How does paroxetine affect regulation of DNMT activity through FKBP51 and 52?
Well, what we saw is that paroxetine increased the association of CDK5 with FKBP51 at the expense, actually, of FKBP52. It decreased the phosphorylation of DNMT1 and thus also decreased the activity of DNMT1.
What are the consequences of paroxetine-induced inhibition of DNMT1 activity?
Well, what we observed upon paroxetine is a decreased global DNA methylation, actually, in a previous study. And here we show local demethylation at the gene encoding BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. This demethylation was also paralleled by increased expression of BDNF.
What role does BDNF play in depression or in the action of antidepressants?
Well, the picture is not homogeneous in the field, but many people would say that increased BDNF would increase the activity of neurons and also lead to the production of new neurons. But this theory is not unequivocally accepted in the field.
Do you know how paroxetine is influencing whether CDK5 binds to FKBP51 or to FKBP52?
Yeah, that's interesting. We actually do not know. This should be a matter of future investigations.
Paroxetine is used clinically to treat depression because it's a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, or an SSRI, which means that it essentially increases the amount of the neurotransmitter serotonin that's available to bind to its receptor on the surface of cells. Paroxetine does that by binding to and inhibiting the transporters that take serotonin into cells. Does the effect of paroxetine on DNMT1 rely on its inhibition of serotonin transporters, or is it doing something entirely different?
We cannot exclude the possibility that the effect on serotonin reuptake is responsible for the effect on DNMT1, but we consider it much more likely that a different yet unknown mechanism is important here. What we observed is that the effect on DNMT1 is also operating in cell culture, even clonal cells. And for the serotonin effect to be causal here, we would have to assume that the cells express the serotonin transporter, the serotonin receptor, and that there is serotonin in the medium. But your question touches on an important debate, I think, about whether the effect on monoaminergic neurotransmission suffices to explain all aspects of antidepressant action. And I think resolving this actually might open new avenues for drug development.
How does the ability of paroxetine to inhibit the activity of DNMT1 correlate with patient responsiveness to paroxetine?
Well, we cultivated blood cells from depressed patients ex vivo and treated them with paroxetine. And we observed that the degree of the change in BDNF expression and also in phosphorylation of DNMT1 correlates with patient response to clinical treatment. In other words, the cellular ex vivo response to paroxetine predicts clinical treatment success.
Why do you think paroxetine increases expression of BDNF in some patients, but not in others?
The response actually varied a lot. And in a way, we are not surprised because the humans are all different. And in this particular case, we think the most likely explanation is differences in the cellular endowment of factors that regulate BDNF. And our data actually indicate that FKBP51 is a major determinant here of the effect of paroxetine on BDNF, but there are certainly other additional factors to be discovered.
How feasible is it to think about developing a test that might tell you whether or not a particular patient is likely to respond to paroxetine?
Developing a blood test, a simpler test that does not require cultivation of blood cells, would obviously be preferable. However, we think the antidepressant response in cultivated blood cells could be a component of more elaborate tests. We expect, though, that the most reliable test would combine several markers on the protein, RNA, and also DNA level.
Dr. Rhine, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for the nice interview.
That was Theo Rhine discussing a paper published in the November 24th issue of Science Signaling by Gasson and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and thanks for listening.